I just want to go into one small little area, only because last time there was a lot of heated discussion insofar as what Chazal are able to do in creating a yontov. No, you need that. I was digging around on Shabbos, and then I found the Rav is a piece in Hari Kedem on this very topic. It's from Malacha Purim Lel Purim. You see that? The bottom page. I'm just going to read this because I want to go through it quickly. You don't see that? Okay, so the halacha is that where it's brought down the Shulchan Aruch, which is from Makom Shenagu, right, where there's the minog in the city not to do malacha on Purim, that's the minog, and therefore you have to follow it. So there were some cities that did not do malacha on Purim, and some cities that did do malacha on Purim. Okay, he says, but usually stop it. Din zeh noag gam b'leil Purim or rak b'yom Purim. So the question is, does the iser that they took upon themselves of not doing malach on Purim, does that apply at night or just in the day? Okay, so he says, there's any quotes of sugya in Megillah. So what you guys did, the guys in the Bekiyas thing did this already. So there's a case where, who was it, Rebbe? So he planted something on Purim. Yeah, planted something on Purim. All right? So the Gemara says, if that's the case, well, then that's a big problem. Because there's a havamina to say what? To say that, really, as the Gemara says, simcha mishav yom tov. Simcha melamed she'asurim hesped. Yonto melamed she'asur b'asiyas melacha. Right? So the assumption was that there was an actual, that in the Havamina, that there was an actual isur asiyas melacha on Purim. He says later on, he says, you see the paragraph where it says, Vanira b'bira dvarim? It's on the second page. Vanira b'bira dvarim, delafia maskana she'adavar toli v'minag ha'makom, b'zeh ina isur mitoras shvisa m'melacha kiyantov. The gamatoras minag lo kibol lam kol chomer yantov. Elo she yisod gidrosh on minag hu mishum simchas yom shel Purim. So he wants to say that if a city accepted upon themselves a minag not to do malacha on Purim, the problem with doing malacha is that it takes away from the simcha of the yom. Okay, umalacha asur mishum hesach adas me simcha. Okay, but then he says later on, he says kolzeh right at the end there. Okay, this is for Mati. Ulam kolzeh maskana. Sheha oser hu mitzvah simcha v'hesach adas. Aval ilu haya iser mishum yantov, right? Lo haya mo'el aheter netiyah shal simcha kla, right? So in the Havmina, if there was an actual iser molacha on Purim, that would mean that you couldn't do this planting business, which would imply that there's a real possibility that there could be an iser molacha on Purim, which means that Chazal have the right to do what? So they can create iser molacha. So I must retract my proposition from before. They would not do that. It's interesting that when they tried to do it, what ended up happening? No one accepted it.
Yeah, no one likes Simon David.
The difference between the Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Yantav.
Are you saying that you're similar to
Echnafish? Yeah.
No. So insofar as the creation of the Kedusha. What?
Kedusha?
Right, so one is by God. So God is Mekadesh Shabbos. And then what do we say for Yantav? We're Mekadesh. In fact, the Ritva says, had it not been for, it's an amazing Ritva, I'd love to do a sugya again with you guys. It's one of the best sugyas ever, about 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But the Ritva says that had it not been for, I thought I may mention this, had it not been for the fixing of the calendar, Yom Tov might have been lost. After Sanhedrin stopped doing Kfiya D'Archa, after it was the system of witnesses stopped, so at that point in time there was a danger that Yom Tov would cease to exist. Because who creates Yom Tov? Sanhedrin, but man. It's in our domain. Okay. But now the question is that...
Why do you say then...
Now, how would you distinguish then Hanukkah and Purim from the other Yom Tovim, even if Purim Yom Tov had Isser Malacha, I still would argue there's a difference. Let me ask you a question. Would you make Kiddush on a Purim that had Isser Malacha?
No.
Why not?
No Kiddush.
It's not Kiddush. You're just knowing not to do.
Okay, so therefore you'd agree with me, right? You'd agree with me that you can have a day of Isser Malacha, but it doesn't necessarily mean it produces Kiddush's Yom.
Right?
So the idea Yom Tov is established by God, right? Elam Moad Hashem, but who's Koveyan into the system? We do. You need Adam. You need Shabbos happens every seventh day, right? But by Yom Tov, through the system of Kiddush HaChodesh, that's how we determine
what day of the year it is.
When Yom Tov comes out.
If it's not made, then it has no objective Kiddusha.
Correct. The Ritva actually says that. He says that there
so
was
no Isser Malacha based on Nes Kaveh.
You can argue there's no reality Yom Tov, which you're right. In other words, that it would appear that Chazal could make a day of Isser Malacha, right? It just seems like they wouldn't do it normally because people wouldn't accept it. But they don't. I still agree they can't create Kedusha. That they can't do. Next question was, well, what about the second? It was over. What about the second day of Yom Tov? In Yom Tov Sheni?
How could they do Nes Malacha on Hanukkah? every time.
Right.
It's just an extension. It is the first day of Yom Tov.
Correct, exactly. Exactly. It has a reality of Yom Tov Rishon. So it's still Durbana.
48-hour day.
40, that's one Shita. Or the other Shita says, no, it's because it's fake of the Yom, so we just don't know which day is which. But the point is, not creating a Yom of Kedusha. That they can't do. Because even if you have an Isra Malacha on Purim Chanukah, it still will not create a Kedusha of the Yom. Okay, so I want to make sure that's clear. And I thank you guys for arguing that point. What?
You could conceptually have an Isra Malacha.
You can. You can. That you could do. Chazal had that right. They do have that right. So I retract that statement. Chazal had the means of creating an Isra. That, and that, again, that's why in Kibun Lidoros, Chazal didn't question Esther's initiative. Because they said, oh, we know there's no problem making Yantam. Even if I had Isra Malacha. Okay? But the key thing I want to focus on is the Kriya. Remember, what, the Kriya would not be one of what?
Mitzvah.
Of Mitzvah. You have to remember that before you go on.
Why not?
You'll see. Actually, Gemara in Zion al Al. Okay? Shalchalei. Yeah, Shalchalei Master. Okay, so what's her request?
Write down my name for the
Jennifer. Which means what? What does she want to do?
No,
what?
Right,
she wants the Megillah Esther to become part of Tanakh. Okay? If it becomes part of Tanakh, what does the Megillah acquire?
Kedusha.
Okay? That's the objective. Yeah. So the objective is that the thing we've established so far is that she wants it to be written down as part of Tanakh. Okay. All right, go on.
The
Shlishim. Okay, so what's their answer before we get to Rashi, literally?
So, have we already not written three? Can I write three and not four?
Okay. This is, before we get to Rashi and the Ritva, this is just very bizarre. There's two issues here. Okay, one is when we see Rashi, the specific thing. But in general, what's problematic about this statement?
Vague.
Why is it vague?
I don't know what it's talking about.
Which part do you not know what it's talking about? It says three, not four. What? Okay, well, three of what? Okay.
But
you could deduce from later on what they're talking about. Okay, right. So Rashi steps in and helps us out. So what does Rashi say? Shlishim. Lahazkir. Okay, so hey. Okay. See, first thing Rashi says, there are three places, right? Okay. Before you even go on to Rashi, if you get, if one thing as what? Rashi says that there. What?
It's not part of Amalek.
A good compliment, a good first step. Okay, but better. Now get that clear. Ezra's suggesting that there is some insinuation of Amalek in Megillas Esther. But therefore what? Come on.
It would violate a rule. There's some kind of rule that touches Amalek too many times.
No, forget that. Before we get to the rule, what's it telling you? Esther says, I want this book to become... No, we'll get to that. Esther says, I want this book to be included into Tanakh. It's okay, fine.
It's almost like saying the purpose of the book was to remember Amalek.
Okay, now, that's better. Now, a little sharper now.
Why?
Big assumption. Tanakh says it's a rule. Esther says, one second, if you're going to include the Megillah in Tanakh, what would you include it for? What reason? Because in an ace, right? There's only one problem, though. Right now, your opportunity to go into the minds of the Chachamim. This is the curtain's been pulled away. Okay, what do they sense? There's a problem they have. There's a big problem. You said nace, right? That's a good reason to have it included.
But
they don't do that. Why not?
Because that's not the reason why she asked for it.
Nope. It's a problem with the Megillah. The Chazal are facing a fascinating problem with the Megillah. Question like this. Question is that the problem with Megillah Esther is that, like you guys mentioned, there's no mention of Hashem. Okay, there's no mention of anase at all. Okay, there's no like ethical, moral guidelines, right? Like Mishle or Kohala says, there's no Eretz Yisrael. There's no Nevuah. All the elements that normally would exist in other Sifrei Tanakh are missing. You know what Megillas Esther really is? It's a wonderful story. It's great. It's gripping. Drama at its peak, but it lacks the normative components that a Sefer Tanakh should have. All the ideas of Nevuah and Shem Hashem from the Torah Shebaal Peh. But if you look at the story itself, and it says Baruch Hashem in Rus. What's the compelling reason why Megillas Esther should be included? See, now that's why I'm trying to go in order. You said before, how do you know it's not a mitzvah? Because right, the first thing she established was that the day should be commemorated by a reading of the story. The next step is that she wants to give the Sefer Kedusha. You can't have a mitzvah Mikra Megillah unless the Sefer is Kedusha. I'll explain to you why later. But right now, what's the problem the Chum are facing? They have a Sefer that has no compelling reason in it to, yeah, because there's no reason to, because there's nothing in it that's so great. There's one Sefer. What?
Well,
No, because Carlos, you could argue as ethical benefit. Divrei Yamim, high five.
Divrei
Yamim, sorry. Divrei Yamim, okay? What about Divrei Yamim? Divrei Yamim, Divrei Yamim is what?
Just the king's...
What? It's the what?
National history.
Yaakov, say what you're saying, yeah, but put it in the context of history.
What is
Divrei Yamim? So you could argue. So therefore, what is it? So why should it be part of? Why is it kedusha? Why is it part of Tanakh? It's part of Tanakh. It could. I could see it as being better than that, because I would say that it's the official Tanakh authorized
history.
No, Tanakh itself, so to speak, authorizes this sefer to be its history. So the kedusha emerges from the very Tanakh itself. What? Divrei Yamim. It's reflecting back on that which already exists in Tanakh. But what's Megillah doing? Megillah is just a very fun story. And this works in perfectly from the previous svara we had. Because Esther's argument to the Chachamim was, don't worry, the world sees the Megillah simply as a work of secular history. This is a perfect proof. Because you see, there's nothing compelling in the Megillah to tell me it should be added as part of Tanakh. Okay? So what do the Chachamim do? What do they turn to?
Tanakh itself.
What? No, before they do that.
Tanakh itself.
No, what does Rashi say? What do they turn to?
Amalek.
Okay, so there is... You said that also? So they did find a way in. Okay, what's their way in? So it turns out that what do you find in the story? Okay, you find Melchamas Amalek. Yeah. Alright, so how do we know it's Melchamas Amalek? It's interesting, because does the word Amalek appear in the Megillah?
No.
A Gagi. Yeah. They're going to get Megillah Esther into Tanakh. What are they going to use to get it in? Okay, so meaning, because there is a precedent. What's the precedent? There's a mitzvah of Zechariah Samalek. So maybe we'll say, hold on, wait a second, slow. Maybe we'll say that since there's a pre-existing mitzvah of Zechariah Samalek, so now we have a method. We can say, you know what? Maybe the Megillah is adding to this expression of mitzvah Zechariah Samalek, which would be a reasonable reason for it to be included. For now, yeah. We couldn't find, there was nothing in the Sefer itself that had some sort of overt theme that other Sefer Tanakh have that would give it a natural means of being part of Tanakh. So what do? They say, oh, but there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So maybe this can help in the fulfillment and the expression of the mitzvah d'oraisa. But now you have a problem, Mr. Tucker. What's the problem? B'shloshim mekamot sheish ano lahaskim mechamas amalek.
Right. B'sefer v'ela.
Ela shmos. Parshas b'shalach. Right.
Mishnah Torah.
Parshas kisetze.
B'sefer hashmuel.
And sefer shmuel. So we have three mekamos. We're what?
We already have zecher amalek.
Okay.
That's it.
B'seu shamar shlomo.
B'seu shamar shlomo b'davar sheshilashto e.
Ata rashai l'rava. Now, that's in Mishlei, okay? Which I know you don't have in your Gemara. But in Mishlei, he says three, not four, which means here, what's Rashi deducing here? Rashi's deducing from Shlomo. What? Right, so somehow, again, it's a great question. That's a good question how Rashi darshan that out. But what's Rashi saying? When Shlomo says what? Three times you mentioned Amalek, you don't need to mention it more. Now, let's put aside why it's tied into Amalek. What Shlomo is saying at this point, before we get to the Ritva, what Shlomo is saying at this point, according to Rashi? There's two ways you can learn three, not four. There's two logical ways. One way is what Mati's saying, that somehow three is a quality. It's a quality called three. So therefore, anything more than three is unnecessary. That's one way to learn it. You could learn it that way. Right? There's another way you can learn it, though.
Quantitative.
Meaning what?
It's a
sheer. No, that would be qualitative. Shears, if it's shears three, then... No, the other way to learn is that it doesn't really mean, and I think this is what the Ritva, it doesn't really mean three, right? It just means enough already. In other words, what's Shlomo telling you? Is Shlomo telling you there's an actual positive idea of three? Or is he just simply saying there's a certain point where a person says, you know what? My God, we've heard enough of Zechariah Samalek, we don't need any more Zechariah Samalek. So, I think probably Chaf or Chaf Bey is one of the two. The Ritva has a problem with Rashi. It's a very difficult Ritva. So what does he say? The parish Rashi Zal.
Mechias. So in three places it says that. So Rashi says that in three places it says that we should recall the remembrance of Amalek and not more.
To write down Mechias Zechar Amalek and not more. Okay. Vilonihira, so he doesn't like this. That's your question. Your question is that, yeah, Mishlei, he's not talking about a Malik, he's talking about other things. Not a Malik, right? There's not even an inference in the Pasuk.
Right.
Okay. Very cryptic. So what's the Ritva say?
Shlomo wrote three books and we should not write more.
He says Shlomo wrote three books. V'lo haya efshalo lichtov yoser. Right, he could not have written more than that.
The other people,
there was a cap. What? Shuhu. Ksava Kodesh. Now, since he was unable, literally, since he was unable to go ahead and add on more than the three to Kisve Kodesh, Heach. How could we even write? Now you got to put in one word there. This one sefer. In other words, it sounds like the argument that the Riff is saying, just on the surface, it sounds like what he's saying is that Shlomo was able to write three, but there was a cap put on how many he could have written, right? You're not Shlomo, and why should we even take your one sefer seriously? They say basically the same thing, okay? They say like what do you call it? No, they don't. They say like Shlomo was able to write three and not four. There was a cap put on how many he could have written.
You want to write more?
Very funny machlokas, okay? But before we define the machlokas, let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, because the Riffa still has to like as these guys were pining about. What does Riffa do about the Gemara? Because the Gemara itself clearly is going to shift into Zeres Amalek, and I don't think the Riffa is denying that. It's impossible. It's impossible to assume that he denies the Gemara is talking about Zeres Amalek. What does the Gemara say? Back to the Gemara.
Three and four. Ad Shematzu lo Mikra.
Kasav Batara. Oh, sorry, on Mikra. All right, until we found what
the passage.
Okay, now, notice who's missing from this? No, Ad Shematzulo. Do you guys remember the Ramban, which you'll see in the Gemara Yodalin? No. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? From the Yerushalmi?
Oh, you're supposed to...
Mayor that God opened up their eyes? But they didn't need God for this one.
What says Matzu? I don't know.
Well, they found it on their own.
Weird.
Okay, but, well, sort of. Okay. But what's the problem what they found on their own? Okay, what's the problem? So it says in the Torah what? That's your cue.
Oh, okay, sorry. Right, so it says in the Torah, Kasav Zos Zikron.
Zikron Basefer.
Zikron Basefer.
So it says in the Torah, write this down to remember in a book.
Okay. Kasav Zos, Mashkzov, Mashkzov, Khan of Mishtar.
Okay, so what are they darshaning? They're saying, write down what's where.
Down what's where?
Yeah, write down what? Write down what's in Bishalach and Kiseitse. And Rashi says what?
Rashi says that the whole Mashavsu B'Torah Kore Ksav Echad.
Right, so anything written in the Torah is considered what? Ksav Echad. Right, which means what? One. Even though it's two. Okay?
It's nice.
That, beautiful, right? And what does the Gemara say? And then the Gemara says, as Zikaron.
Zikaron. Zikaron. Mashkuv.
Benevim. So when it says, Xozos Zikaron, Zikaron refers to Nevim, which is Shmuel. Basefer.
Mashkuv.
Right. Beautiful. Right? Okay. And this is based on Machlokes Tanaim. Because one Tana says what? One Tana says, Bishalach is one, Zahavmina. Bishalach is one, Kiseisei is one, Shmuel is one. That's three. Right? Or do you say no, Bishalach and Dvarim are one, right? Even though they're two. Shmuel is one. And then therefore, what do you call it? Esther is the third. So what's that way? So you never violate what? The principle of Shlomo. You're always sticking with three. They refuse to violate that principle. The Chacham had a Havmina, which is what? When I read this Pasuk, Sozov Zikaron B'Sefer, how do I darshan it out? One in Mishalach, one in Kiseitzi, and one in Shmuel. Which seems like a very logical way to learn it, because there are three separate instances. So the Gemara says, no, I have a very good way of doing it. Let's just take the Mishnah Torah one and slide it here and make it part of Torah. Now we're left with one in Torah, one in Avi, and that opens up the room for Esther. Well, that sounds like a game. 100%. So we've got two big problems here. Problem number one is, how does this work? What's the back and forth with Esther and the Chachamim? Problem number two is, the Rashi versus the Ritva, which is a secondary problem. About saying, you know what, originally we darshan out this way, but you know what? We could just, with a little cute maneuver, we're going to just shift Mishnah Torah as part of say it's attached to Bishalach, and then we have three. What kind of thing is that? How does this work? Mati's right. Mati's saying that whatever the three is, you do see that it's not simply that they're maneuvering Mishnah Torah and equating it. What are they trying to do? In other words, what's the Havmina or the first side of the Machlokas? The Havmina was what?
There's only three measures.
Right. In other words, there's three. What is Shlosha not? What does three not four mean? It means you only have three mentions of Zechiras HaMalek. You don't need more than three. Three is sufficient. Whether you want to say it's a chazakah or sufficient, it's relevant. The point is, three is the mandated amount of expressions of Zechiras HaMalek as a mention. So what did the Chacham see that Esther brought to the table? No, no. So they want. They saw insofar as mentioning HaMalek is concerned, that would not be sufficient. That wouldn't work. But what could they accomplish, though? You just said it.
They have one per...
Because what does that do?
It gives one for Ksuvim.
What?
It gives a mention of Malik in Ksuvim.
Right, meaning that the idea of Zechiras HaMalek exists where?
In every
institution of Torah, well, meaning of Tanakh. Okay, in other words, in each of the three sections, there is an independent expression of Zechiras HaMalek. That is a justified reason to give him the Sefer Kedusha. Okay? So now when you look at Tanakh, you'll see that each book has what? Each book has an expression of Zechiras HaMalek. Each one has its own independent, unique expression of Zechiras HaMalek. That they found to be a compelling reason to include Miguel's Esther. Now, what's the take-home message before we get to Machlokas Rashi and Ritva? It's amazing. So when we think of the Megillah, right, we know HaMalek is part of it, but we never think of it as the essential thing. And yet, when it comes to being defined as a Sefer of Kedusha, right, as a Sefer of Kedusha, what's its defining theme?
HaMalek.
Not the Nes, not Hashkacha, not Nes Nistar, not Eretz Yisrael, none of those things. It's Zechiras HaMalek. That is the main theme of the Megillah, and that's what allows it to acquire Shem Kedusha. Alright, so what do you say? What's come out? Here's some Sfaris here. New. Rashi versus Ritva. Isaac, you had something to offer? Problem is, Shlomo wrote three Sfarim, and he got capped. That was it, right? And you're telling us, Hayach nichtav anu sefer shalach. How can you write your sefer? Meaning that we can't add a sefer to Tanakh. Meaning, what's the
issue? Just specifically Megillah.
I agree. Okay, your sefer, but why?
Why? Because Megillah.
Because
share
something
common
with
halachic. No. Common with Sifrei Kohelet. No. No, I'm telling you. You're not thinking halachic. You're thinking too philosophical. Think halachically. The Ritva is saying that there's a concern, and Rashi's saying it's a concern. There's a halachic machlokas here. What's the machlokas? Forget how Rashi darshens that. The issue here is about the mechanism of being able to include a new sefer into Tanakh.
Right,
according to Rashi, okay, forget the philosophy for a second. According to Rashi, but what is Rashi implying by saying that? What is Rashi implying by saying that, though? You got to think in halacha. You're getting too philosophical.
How is it halacha?
No, what you said is fine. Let's go take the next step halachically, not off the philosophical cliff.
I want to go off the philosophical cliff.
Comes to including a sefer Tanakh, right? What is the litmus according to Rashi?
If you got mitzvahs mikra.
What?
Yeah,
no. What's the standard according to him? Let's say mitzvah, right? Hey, so what does that tell us about? I don't want to give it away. Let's go over the riff for a second, okay? You'll see why. What is the riff saying? The riff says, "Oh, Shlomo wrote three Svarim, he had a cap. How can we write your sefer?" What's he really telling you though? What do you require in order to get a sefer into the Tanakh? What do you require according to what's the riff's message?
A divine right.
Which means what? No. Not divine intervention.
Prophecy.
What?
Yeah, that's permission too.
Either
permission.
Open miracle or
okay? Prophecy. You know, matir. No, you can't just add a sefer into Tanakh. That's the whole point. So Shlomo, what Shlomo's telling me is that Shlomo had a matir. Why? Because he was Shlomo. So you had a matir. But you see that including a sefer, one second. That's a good question. I don't know. But including a sefer in Tanakh, you can't just add a sefer in Tanakh. You know, matir add a sefer in Tanakh. But that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's not saying you need a matir. Rashi's saying that what do you have in front of you? You can include, there's a lot of things you can include Tanakh. All you got to do is search out for one thing.
Mitzvah,
theme, God, whatever it is. Something that exists, and then you can include it in. So the question is that, that's the real machlokas in Rashi and Ritva. Forget how Rashi darshens it out. It's a good question. I can answer that in a global way. But what are they really arguing about? The tone of their machlokas is that what's required to make a sefer part of Sifrei Tanakh? You're just telling you need a matir. And Shlomo's telling you, the message from Shlomo is that there's a cap. Meaning what? Meaning that you need a matir to be able to include it in. So that's why the Ritva does hold Zechiras HaMalek as a matir. The mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek is a matir. He agrees with the Gemara. He's not disagreeing with the Gemara. It is a matir. But you need a matir though. Shlomo's telling you can't just add in Sefarim into Tanakh. There's a process. But according to Rashi, technically speaking, any sefer has the potential. Huge chiddush. Let's put it that way. to allow a sefer to be included in Tanakh, according to Ritva. It's like a massive chiddush. Like, to have such a thing happen is cataclysmic. But according to Rashi, it's not such a big deal. As long as you can find something unique that this sefer has, then it's just it's like a formality to make it part of Tanakh.
So it's factual.
No.
And the uniqueness in Esther is what?
Both agree the uniqueness of Esther is Zechiras HaMalek. They both agree to that.
Yeah, what's unique about it?
Zechiras HaMalek. It's no, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says because it is the Ksuvim expression of Zechiras HaMalek. It's the Zechiras HaMalek of Ksuvim. That's what makes it unique.
Okay, but
it's the complete expression of Zechiras HaMalek. So you look at the Gemara and Yadav Amnav, now comes step three in Esther's whole approach. So step one was what? What did Esther first try to do? Guys, what did Esther first try to do? Step one is Yantav with the Kriya. Right? But no, you'll see no mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. You'll see why. Step two is make Megillah Esther part of Tanakh. But you still, what does not emerge from that though? Because why? Exactly. You don't have that by other mitzvahs, the other Sfarim. You don't have Sifrei Tanakh, a mitzvah to read other Sifrei Tanakh. It doesn't exist. Put aside the Torah. What?
We never read.
Yes.
Like in any form,
so, guys, you dial on off in Bavli. Let's set you up for the question you can think about. Okay? What's the question? 48 Nevi'im.
Arayim v'shmona Nevi'im. 48 prophets.
Male prophets.
Male prophets?
Yeah, because look at the next line. V'sheva.
And seven female prophets.
Nisnabu l'hamli Yisrael. So what do they do?
They would prophesy to Israel.
Okay.
The low pachto below hatiro al mashgaso b'torah chutz mevitar megillah.
Okay, so this is a huge problem. So they never added or subtracted, right? A single what?
Iota.
Okay, from what is written in the Torah, except for mikra megillah. This is a big problem. This is a huge problem. First of all, certainly according to the Rambam, it's a huge problem because the Rambam makes it sound like what's a let's see if you guys remember what's Rambam about Tosef according to the Rambam. Right. So why are they struggling with this? Right. Why such a struggle? But let me ask you another question. If the rule is you cannot do things like this, what's Chutz Mikra Megillah? You can't do that. You can't say except for. That's crazy. Except for. If it's a Isser, it's an Isser. And it's not like Bichulach Nefesh.
How so
what does the... What does the Gemara say? Chutz? Mimikra Megillah. Not Sefer Tanakh.
Reading a Mikra Megillah different than Echa, let's say?
Yes. Because it's own mitzvah.
Difference.
There's no mitzvah of Kriyas Echa. There's a mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah.
Really?
A separate mitzvah derbanan Kriyas Megillah. What did the Rambam say? Kigon. Mikra Megillah. Ner Chanukah. Tainis Tisha B'Av. Mikra Megillah.
Yedayim and
Erevin. Good. Okay. Why? Now, okay. So Tucker says, when you chutz Mikra Megillah, look at Rashi. Vim Tomar. Last wide line in Rashi. On the right side.
Vim Tomar Ner Hanukkah.
Kvar.
Pasku Hanavi.
Yeah, we got a problem. But what about Ner Hanukkah? Because when Ner Hanukkah, there were no Nevi'im.
Right.
So how do they make... Yeah, wouldn't this be implying it might be more of a struggle? Avavimei Mordechai. Umalachi. It's a good news, but you wouldn't have this problem you wouldn't have the problem of Nevi'im. Oh, so no, so by Ner Chanukah, why is it not a problem?
No.
The opposite. Ner Chanukah is not a problem because
they
know Nevi'im. In other words, the problem of Nevi'im, again, just factually, okay? The problem of Nevi'im, the problem of having Nevi'im is that Nevi'im cannot add anything to the Torah.
Oh,
but guess what?
You can't, but I can.
Oh, but when there's no Nevi'im...
It's by definition not added to the Torah.
No one can say that.
When there's no Nevi'im, it's not a problem.
He's in the problem saying
that. They're adding something to the Torah. As
they
make us, wait a second. You have to define that. Okay? Tal Gemara says, My darsh,
Amar Rabbi
Chia
Bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yoshua Bar.
Now let's see if you guys like this. Uma Me'avdus Lecherus Amrina and Shira. So when we went from what? Slavery
we sang,
what song do we sing? Rashi, B'tzias Yisrael, Amr Shir Aliyam. We sang Az Yashir. We said what? What is really Az Yashir the prototype for? No. Hallel, right? We said Shira, we said Hallel from Abba Zacharus. Mimisa Lachayim. We'll call Shekane. Oh, but by Esther, what happened?
We
went from death to life. So of course we should say Hallel. Meaning of course it's Shira, meaning that therefore it demands its own. Except for what?
It's not
Hallel. What? No, 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 don't say that yet. No, see, that's what happens when you know too much about halacha, right? No, 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 no. You got to be smart. What's the question to ask?
Well, no, we don't need to send it in place.
If you're telling me that really, Abba Zacharias, right? We say Shira, right? Misa L'chaim, right? But what should be, fill in that blank. Misa L'chaim, we should do what? Say Shira. We should say Hallel. There's a question you're asking the Gemara is, question is that, why is the Gemara assuming Megillah is the solution here? What should be the solution? What should we say on Purim? A Kriya of Hallel. Because if you're going to have a Kriya, make the Kriya one of Hallel. Who says it should be Megillah? Now that's why you know the answer already. Because what do they say?
Right, the three answers.
Oh,
Megillah is Hallel.
Right, that's going to be the main one we're going to focus on. Okay? All right. So keep going in the Gemara. Ihachi.
Ihachi halal nami.
Nema. Oh, so that's what Gemara says. What should we say? Say halal.
Yep.
But you can't though. Why? Well, aritz, right? But you don't say halal on a nase that takes place out of Eretz Yisrael. Yes. Oh, so the Gemara says. This is Gemara Erechin. The Gemara says. The original Shira that was said where? Outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? After Yamsuf. So how could it be that that Shira is not said outside Eretz Yisrael with a nace? So that's incorrect. Oh, so the Gemara says Kidisanya.
Nichnesu Israel Eretz Hukshiro Ko Artso Loner Shira Mishinichnesu Yisrael Eretz Lo Hukshiro Ko Artso.
Oh, very simple. So you're right. So really, you were allowed to say Shira on a nace. I'm not going to. I don't care about these little steps here. That's not the main issue. But you're allowed to say Shira on a nace outside of Eretz Yisrael before B'nai Yisrael made it into Eretz Yisrael. But once it made it into Eretz Yisrael, what happens?
Never again.
So there's a new rule. Rule of thumb is there's no more what?
What?
On nace outside of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, since that's the case, now what can't we do? So therefore, what do we do? So now, one second. So now, what does the Gemara say? Tucker, finish the Gemara. So what's the answer? Let's just take his answer first. So he says, no. So that's why the Kriya of Megillah becomes the Hallel, which is amazing. Because what does that tell you? Come on. What's the implication from this Gemara here? It's astonishing.